By OneView, knowledge-driven, high-technology industries like software, medical technology, and telecommunications are key to economic success. One of the leading proponents of that view is Ross Duvall from the Milken Institute in California. Duvall says regions that lack a growing high-tech sector will be left behind.
It is playing such a large role in determining how well not only we are doing as a nation, but how regions of the country are performing.
Duvall issued a study last year ranking the Twin Cities 32nd in high-tech economic output. Rochester ranked 16th. The Twin Cities' low ranking in part reflects the eclipse of Minnesota's strength in mainframe computers by the PC and the Internet. In a more recent study, Duvall ranks Minnesota in the second or third out of four tiers in most of 13 categories affecting high-tech economic growth. Duvall says high-tech industries will determine an area's economic success because they're powerful growth engines.
Growth in high-tech industries has averaged somewhere between 20 to 25% per year, while the overall economy has been averaging close to 4%.
It's not just an academic debate. What's at stake is the size of paychecks, among other things. By one estimate, workers in industries producing information technology earned an average of $55,000 in 1998, 45% more than employees in the IT-using industries. In Minnesota, a number of high-profile voices are raising concerns about Minnesota's future in an economy driven by innovation. They point to a declining share of national venture capital since 1995 and middling rankings for public stock offerings and new company growth. But others say Minnesota's economy has great strength regardless of its status as a high-tech center. Economist Arthur Rolnick of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis says one of the state's assets is the breadth of its economy.
The envy of many other communities, and like they have this kind of diversity so that you don't feel the economic shocks if a particular company should fail.
In Rolnick's view, even if the state's reputation as a tech center has eroded, the economy has done anything but. Minnesota has a very low unemployment rate. Personal income grew faster than the U.S. as a whole over the 1990s, boosting the state's ranking for personal income from 16th to 10th. And Rolnick says Minnesota has a high-quality workforce with a strong work ethic. He argues that's the key factor in economic prosperity, not high-tech.
It doesn't really matter which particular industry it is. We do well at what we do, and so that it's tough to anticipate which is going to be the next hot industry. In the past, we did well with supercomputers, for example. Currently, we're doing well in the medical industry. Right now, in other parts of the country, it may be high tech. I don't know if it's that's going to continue for 5 or 10 years.
Our preference is to grow here in Minnesota. The issue simply is there are not enough high-tech workers here.
William Cadigan is CEO of ADC Telecommunications, a telecom and information technology firm and one of Minnesota's rising tech stars. In 5 years, ADC's global workforce has grown sixfold to more than 20,000. The company has deep roots in the Twin Cities, but Cadigan says the company's loyalty to Minnesota was not enough to overcome the realities of the state workforce.
Unfortunately, ADC had to take a very painful decision about 2 years ago to relocate one of our divisions based here in Minneapolis down to Dallas. And the reason for that was there were just not enough high-tech workers, again, engineers, software developers, to support that key initiative.
The Dallas operation now employs around 300, but Cadigan says the move will cost Minnesota 2,000 jobs over the long term. But not everyone agrees the situation is that grim.
What we've got is good engineers. And guess what they're out of in Silicon Valley is engineers.
Mac Lewis is a former tech company CEO turned venture capitalist. Lewis thinks Minnesota definitely has some catching up to do, but his firm, Sherpa Partners, is raising $40 million from investors to bet on emerging Minnesota technology firms. One of his selling points is Minnesota's stable, technology-oriented workforce. Lewis points out computer networking giant Cisco Systems this year cemented a partnership with one Minnesota firm and snarfed up a local startup for almost $500 million. And he says other West Coast tech firms are prowling the state.
They might like the product, but what they love to see is a group of engineers working together that they can put to work on market opportunities that they're trying to develop. So we're seeing companies outside of Minnesota coming in here and falling in love with our engineers and the talent we have here to build some new companies.
And that's not all. Minnesota's software industry has mushroomed. Government data suggest Minnesota's industry has grown nearly 250% since 1988, 43% more than the national average. Tom Stinson is the state economist.
I was frankly surprised. I knew that the software industry had been growing in Minnesota, but I didn't believe that it was growing that much faster than the national averages.
The portion of Minnesota's workforce in software is close to California's, and Minnesota's employment in high-tech industries is slightly higher than the national average. Even so, Stinson says there are clouds.
We don't have a particular advantage in terms of the number of high-tech professional workers, and that's a concern.
Stinson says engineers and scientists are more likely to generate the ideas that can spawn new companies. Just about everyone agrees on the need to ensure Minnesota has a skilled workforce. Stinson says that will be the key challenge, requiring more focus on existing workers and accommodating more immigrants.
We talked about the steps of compilation.
Warren Schaefer is helping his computer programming students through a problem at St. Paul Technical College. Most have jobs, and about half are from foreign countries. But Schaefer says technology poses the greatest challenge.
The disadvantage that our students have linguistically, say from foreign cultures, is secondary to the challenge that we face as students and faculty keeping up with the changing hardware and software. We're all struggling with that.
Keeping the workforce up to speed with technological change may be a huge challenge, but Ross Duvall of the Milken Institute says it's not the only one. He says strong regional economies require a top research institution that also has a pipeline for moving ideas from the lab to the marketplace. Lyle Ray of the Citizens League agrees, but he adds one more consideration, an aversion to complacency. Ray says the statistics indicate cause for concern, not panic, but he points out many other states have launched large-scale and heavily funded programs to boost the development of high-tech industries. Minnesota, he says, seems rudderless.
Complacency is probably worse than any single thing, because you begin to sort of disregard and deny warning signs. And in Minnesota, we've been told we don't have gangs. We've been told we don't have all kinds of problems around here until it sort of hits us over the head with a brick. And I think that that kind of complacency denial tendency is very dangerous.
The trick, says Ray, is promoting a sense of urgency when times are good. He hopes one will emerge from the university summit. I'm Bill Catlin, Minnesota Public Radio.